Welcome to Green Space, an occasional gathering in a public place. We are in Chapin Parkway, where some of us gathered with tonight's readers over the last year against the isolation of the pandemic. We are also in the city of Buffalo, which is a territory stolen from the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, specifically the Seneca Nation. Buffalo's geography carries names of some of the original colonial cheats and thugs, like Washington, Boosty, and Ellicott. Death to all colonial settler states. The original design of Green Space was to have one person per Green Space, but we're pleased that things shook out, so we have three. Allison Carden, Travis Sharp, and Ryan Sheldon. Allison and Ryan are about to leave Buffalo, which is bitter and sweet. Bitter because they are brilliant, generous people, scholars, poets, and friends, and they are leaving. Sweet because I've had the opportunity to know them for 8 and 7 years. Travis Sharp is a multifarious writer, editor, and scholar whose engagements with the material form of the poem I've been a huge fan of. And Travis does have books tonight, correct? Okay. So there we are. The reading order will be Ryan, Travis, and Allison. And my introductions will be brief. Ryan Kavis Sheldon is the friendliest Iranian in the world.
This is disarmingly small. Thanks for doing this, Jake and Joe. A while ago, I was like, I have to do something for this. And I was worried about that. But I'm glad about it now. Okay. So this first one begins with a kind of epigraph from John Locke. So fuck him too. And I don't know if this project has a title, so I'm going to call it Point Break. In the beginning, all the world was America. And it was huge, like a big fucking parking lot. A parking lot full of blood and negative decarbonization. Someone indicates a mountain. Vague green, medicine-colored soil, the hard glass moon, an app-specific shade of strawberry. Many things are made with violence in California, under the horizon of Georgia capture, vacant and glittering beyond excuse. Look, I didn't want to come here, but now, for better or worse, I'm hanging on a joke about an episode of Seinfeld in which Kramer accidentally joins ISIS, delivered with enviable grace. I'm actually way cool with the heteronomy of endless refrigeration and vague rearrangements of protein. Now I can't remember where to find the delectable flesh offerings grilled and served hot with lime. Can't remember the moneyed prefabrications of a city obliterated after midnight where we were watching a movie about fascism in Argentina, but I do remember this. I want to live, and I want you to live, and you also. Was this how I became romantic? I got tired of repackaging the wine dark and other such problems of luxury, untongued and de-electrified. Little left to do but rend with Escalian embarrassment. In the Agora, I set my display name to Misfits Aladdin, and I am received with great hostility, growing small plants, tendering small plots. You couldn't find me if you tried, and you don't even know what I'm talking about. The far-traveled smoke, non-nativized irony, in the end, was no balm. I was not loved, that was true. I was not loved, but I was licensed, piloting small dreams and the promise of securitized history, a myth you could come home to. I was terrifying, and this became me. I could hardly believe it. Everyone wants to be satanic, and in this regard, I'm no stated exception, a true student of augury, mission accomplished, and all the revanchist corollaries. I have often wanted to hijack my body like a missile, a rerouted meteorite not quite powerful enough to cause citywide sinking, but sufficient to glitch the regularized melt of solids, pyrotechnically worth your time in my little soul house. Here's one story. You release all of my embargoed gold, and I leave you on the side of a limitless desert road, after we fall thousands of feet in quasi-parachuted and amorous combat, choking on all that dust, hazarded by mindless depredations, but never beyond recovery, ready for the full poly knee reconstruction, a new sleeve of bullets, and a willingness to throw terrorism into the sea like a winner. In this pixelated window of historical credulity, we might have imagined the role of law, magical in its pursuit of spirited piracy, rather than devoted to the systematic decommissioning of a movement toward the abolition of the present state of things. Keanu's watery adroitness, a beautiful first-person shooter training on the bones of unacknowledged humanity. I'm not saying this is the best film of the 1990s, but I am saying it reveals, for the dedicated student, the lineaments of a new cultural regime, basically one constant encomium to state terror in defense of what we'll call bellum Americana. You know, I promised myself this poem wouldn't undertake a didactic reversal, but I don't care, because you gotta go down. It's gotta be that way. Was this how I ended up crawling all pre-political in the scrapyard these days, stretching for the minimal posture? In other words, I corrode my gut flora with refined sugar and don't ask too many questions. I'm trying to recall a metaphysics circumscribed by a godlike mouth, a citadel of names, palace of the world, palace of the universe. I Google image search, pink mosque, and let geometric initiative burrow beneath my eye. A single blue tile falls into my mouth. I am going to put this on the wall of your cubicle so that you can do a great job today. Kant famously said, numbers are some galaxy brain shit. Watching the pyramids dynamite into theoretically finite units, I'm just a sum of throbbing incapacities, all machinic and optative, declaring, I want to know spitefully how living is possible, a thrum of sobbing decisions, like how much water does it take to grow a walnut, how much breath to uproot an olive tree from the soil in which it has lived for the last 1,000 years. This is a true story. A V famous poet whispers, I have interrupted your pizza vector. Notwithstanding ferality and steroidal agribusiness, dying across the vagaries of rift and displacement, that was too true. But how could I concede sometimes you just want to eat more than you want anything else? Yes, pizza vector, an opportunity already eclipsed. I didn't have good, reliable, fortified words like haciety or migration or the immortal science. Not yet, but soon, furtively disgorging $100 into my hands, she tells me to buy something I really need, like hats, or perhaps one very large hat. This one's a little longer, and maybe a mistake. It's called An Essay on Criticism. I want to share with you a moment in Dana Ward's poem, Typing Wild Speech, which, to my mind, is one of the finest poems that has been written in the last 20 years. The opening gambit of the poem, if we're to trust its own telling, is the reproduction of another poem, a holy and thoroughly earnest act of versioning a Promethean wager in which Dana types out David Larson's poem, Wild Speech, originally presented in scrawling hand like a ransom note written in felt-tip marker in the hopes of casting about for jolting pleasures, as Dana later puts it, relieving inertia in his own practice. That stuckness, the temptation of rewriting, it's what I wanted to share with you, or at least to proffer by way of answer to question posed by comrades kinder and more alive to the situation of our under-resourced and denuded poetic commons. What is leisure? What is the poetry of the future? How do you feel about machines? The inculpatory truth is at some point I detoured from making in its strict sense to the hierophantic exegetical ministrations we designate by criticism or the study of literature, and this relieved me of the burden of claiming the space of active knowledge, so I was like, not sure. What I know is how to know who knows, and feeling an immediate and exquisite stuckness, an intolerable tropism leading back to, not an ecology exactly, but a plot of imagined filiation, I was like, let me transmit the virtues of typing wild speech, which is like greeting a 21st century mock Georgic written under the sign of financialization and in the teeth of the rotting Middle West technosphere, gutted and decisively post-industrialized, but not quite a nightmare, safe harbor appearing in the guise of certain domestic confines. Sometimes it's better to stay inside, training the hand in swerving cultural bricolage, alchemizing the brute intensities of living in a fleshy sensorium at once overstimulated and deprived of unalienated nourishment. And, like, we shouldn't apologize for that. I'm getting a field here, but perhaps you hear what I'm saying, or perhaps you don't, and that's why I had to retype typing wild speech, but impoverishment threatened my gesture, too neat, too mild, too rote in its directive, in short, too easy, not that we wouldn't all be better off encountering typing wild speech right now. So I resolved to transmit the poem line by line as I heard it in real time, which meant I couldn't afford to trace Dana's lines indulgently, occasionally, as I imagine he must have traced David's. Dana's right about it, The Thorn, the collection that includes wild speech. It changed my life, too. Top five, sincerely, because it bucks the orthodoxies and pieties, the American response to the immense degradation and violence inflicted on West Asia over the course of the last 30 years. Terminally contoured, perhaps, by the rapid mobilizations and demobilizations that convulsed a semi-collectivized polis, the nominal left descended into familiar melancholia, and its poetic custodians retreated into strange ventriloquial waltzes with the imaginaries of brute imperial power, like maybe we could remedy our own condition if we caressed the tortured while speaking seductively into the ear of the torturer. White phosphorus, materiel, depleted uranium, extraordinary rendition, treaty and betrayal. Bureaucratic alibi, militarized phoneme. It was rough out here on the shifting and eroding soils of moralizing, destitute expropriations. One would have been forgiven for thinking the regretful performance of complicity died at Abu Ghraib. The Thorn, in contrast, bears forth a deep affinity for classical Arabic verse traditions, punctuated with batshit flights of enthusiasm like, Osama bin Laden is the most beautiful man I have ever seen, or, you know what, fuck everyone except for me, a Dante figure. Wild speech. Sometimes it is good to feel like a barbarian they would like you to be. I, for one, needed this lesson badly, and so it is with no small gratitude that I return to Dana's poem, Typing Wild Speech, which led me to The Thorn, sharing it like a poisonous and indomitable weed pressed into the pages of his collection, This Can't Be Life. You can imagine, then, my shock upon for the first time clicking the link to a recording of Typing Wild Speech from Dana's reading at the Knesset Gallery in San Francisco on October 17, 2009, and finding that he doesn't actually begin the poem by reading Wild Speech. Or maybe he does. The point of my exercise, mirroring and cheapening, though I hope with some purpose, Dana's own drive for more imbricated closeness with the original poem, was to find that out. There is a tender way to tell this, and a wild way. And the tender way to experience wild speech was to trawl the microphysics of encounter, drawing into the field of bodily poesis everything that might surround the resounding of David's poem, its indexical and meandering scrawl. I am drawing a finger in the sand with a crooked finger, and I am leading you on with it. That's David again. But I can only hear it as Dana, breathless and rapt, as though marveling at the syllables traversing his speech organs, The ecstatic evades me, but when I transmitted typing wild speech, texting it to Joe and Jake, I needed that electrical commingling of intellection and cadence like a derelict transistor or an anemone sifting particulate. It was harder than I had anticipated. Anyway, wild speech is like a blueprint, a scaffold, or a chrysalis that recedes from view in Dana's theorization on the move, becoming almost talismanic. Sacred calls it later, as it holds up for examination so much wreckage in an effort to move through tortured but curiously ludic transits of grief, a friend's suicide, his resemblance to an actor who plays Ian Curtis in the film Control, the rituals that keep alight a smoldering drive for sociality, the movie Election starring Reese Witherspoon, his neighbor's miniature pines haloed by inebriation. But the moment I'm after arrives later in the poem, when Dana reflects on calcifications of position that attend social life in the belly of capital. What can one add, he is wondering, beyond the lightning storm of political deprivations, a phrase that every time breaks me in how honestly it arrives. Being a poet, how to commit crimes against that position. And here's where things are heating up. What's my perfect crime, he asks. Too easy, one is tempted to say, and he answers, woe unto you. I break into Tiffany's at midnight. Do I go for the vault? No, I go for the chandelier. It's priceless. As I'm taking it down, a woman catches me. She tells me to stop. It's her father's business. She's Tiffany. I say, no. We make love all night. In the morning, the cops come and I escape in one of their uniforms. I tell her to meet me in Mexico, but I go to Canada. I don't trust her. Besides, I like the cold. 30 years later, I get a postcard. I have a son, and he's the chief of police. This is where the story gets interesting. I tell Tiffany to meet me in Paris by the Trocadero. She's been waiting for me all these years. She's never taken another lover. It's at this pivotal juncture that Dana is starting to slip his moorings, to crack up, totally lose his shit. He doesn't, not quite, but his composure, his seductive and inquiring vocality stumbles upon this scene of roguery like he's never read it aloud. Back to Tiffany. She's never taken another lover. I don't care. I don't show up. I go to Berlin. That's where I stash the chandelier. It's Dana's laugh, that cross-pollination of ironic rejoinder and deep-committed yowl issuing from stuckness. I'm howling, as they say. I return to this poem because I'm not sure there is a way forward until there is a way forward. A Valentine, as Dana calls it. Sometimes you just get arrested. The other night, Jay asked after the prospect of solidarity, that plaintive catechism of anyone endeavoring towards a world less fucked. What are the hard limitations of relation, say, with Iran or Venezuela under the shadow of empire and the prospect of a world without a Gulf Stream? Sometimes I, too, have little to add to the storm of confusions. All I can say is my body will never stop demanding this question, and I will love the people who essay it. Then Jay was telling us about mulberry plants, their incessant networking and undefeated refusals. We're gathering shit, making a nest, a menagerie, wild, untrammeled speech. The poem gets me thinking about abeyance, about prematurity, indecisiveness. If this transports you there, I don't really give a fuck about anything else. In the meantime, don't read this as a polemic against having a position, Dana says, playing my Martian. There is ultimately an inadequacy to everything I think, and this fills me with extraordinary hope. Despair would be lack redesigned with the absence of longing, and thinking is longing. Grief is adequate, its extremity fit to the break confirmed by loss. Adequate thought would destroy me. That borrows a lot from top Ohio guy, Dana Ward.
Yes.
Buffalo Valentine. Leave me alone with your plenitudes and rumors, artisanal denim and readily compressible pain, the final cut or creamy underside, a climactic haven for what someone called mastery. I'm trying to archangel this shit instead. But listen, I'm gonna be there one way or another, begrudging the historical flux. I know the chants back and forth, they're not good. Just thicketing in the viral hugeness, algorithmic reset. I like that no one knows how to drive here. I'm not sure if it's objectionable to shiver into unstressed positions, but I do it on the regular, brimming with cultish remainder. I can't be sold on running for the rest of my life. Sometimes you reorganize, turn on the overdrive, a single note, reverberating like the artificial promise of clean, filtered air and optimized work temperatures. Sometimes promise is all there is, like, I'll see you, I'll see you, I won't forget. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Ryan. That was, yeah. I'm glad we're recording this so I can listen to it again. And we did interviews with Ryan and Allison that you can find at greenspace, green.space. And hopefully we'll get a chance to do one with Travis as well. Welcome to everybody again. If you need to stretch or move or be closer to here, feel free to do it. Travis is next. I just really like Travis's new book. I think it's virtuosic in its work with tone, and in, there's real joy in making through language while also offering up provocations that stuck with me. So I hope that you check out Travis's book as well, and I'm so glad that that you're reading, and that I'll be able to hear it again. So you have books for sale, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so talk to Travis if you want one. And please welcome Travis to Greenspace.
Hello.
Hey, do I stand here?
Unless you want me to move the mic towards you.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I do somewhat fear that pandemic has, like, I've forgotten how to, like, be in a space and how sound carries. So if you can't hear me, just, like, throw some grass or something. All right. I am reading from my book. Yes, I am a corpse flower. I'm going to read this this section titled Organ Grinder. I guess if I had to describe this book, I would say it is my attempt to, like, write a queer lyric or a queer poetics while also being very suspicious of representational aesthetics and politics. So it's also kind of like weird and wild at places. The title Organ Grinder has a few references, right? So there's of course the musical Crank the Organ Grinder, which was outlawed in New York and other major cities due to copyright laws. There is also a reference here to Grindr, like the app, because it's spelled like Grindr. In the poems, the various organs of the body are sending like letters and messages to one another on a pseudo Grindr-like app. so that is the premise. Okay, Organ Grinder. In repose on the floor, a body of unfathomable shape and proportions. Fathom my fathom shape and tremble. My children, me, prostrate, skin tightens and slackens, bones churn, heart and stomach twist about, move to my back, bleat like spurned lamb. Upper back churning, lower back thumping, spleen wrapped around bladder, liver in my throat, my children. Oh, little love tombs, little wove rooms, little looms stretching tendrils across these bones, laying out a crumpled map of me. In a heat of feeling, closer and further and farther from father, we grow apart, separate like flayed skin. Each viscous expands, congeals, opens wide. There are whole rooms of me. In repose on the floor, I become a field made sphere. My children swirl around me like so many storms. There are whole rooms of me collapsing together and falling apart, fractured and fraying. I congeal into a sphere, I fray. Praying for perforation, for dislocation, disarticulation, each viscous writes me a letter, a please, a please, a please me, and signed with an XOXO from you with love. I wait. In the waiting, there's silence with a thrumming or ripple across the sphere of me, gesturing out to the other side, contacting itself, returning like an echo, then stillness. I wait. My lover children revolt, disdain or distance, shut down for business, move in together, wrap around one another. There are ever more rooms of me, contorted and consorted and resorting to this, oh, I receive electric shocks from the interior, joint pain that becomes whole body pain that becomes body. The body is the feeling is a letter, oh, everything lightning. I wait and I bloat full of refuse, now no longer leaking into the environment. The leachate becomes me an environment. I congeal on the floor, unable to move, and I wait. My organ children, lovers in the dark, clamorous, glamorous bastards of me, unionized workers, genderless sex machines. Oh, how I've always been jealous of you. Liver. I'm a lover, not a liver. I'm a liver, not a filter. I have lives, I have dreams, I have sex, I have hardened, I have escape routes, I have plans, I dream of living, of livering, of leaving, going under the knife. I pretend to like it. Sliced out, ice, rolled around in a wheelbarrow, taken to the park, taken to the Ferris wheel, taken to the coffee shop, taken to the university, taken to the car dealership, taken to the hotel, taken to the restaurant, taken to the zoo, taken to the water, taken to the library, taken to, this is the life. I, a loner. I, a lone. I got dreams of going to the store in laundry day clothes, wandering about nothing. I've got dreams of wondering about nothing. I've got nothing. I got nothing but protein shakes and energy drinks and gallons of the cheapest wine. I'm the cheapest date. I wake up on the floor of this body and look at the clouds surrounding me, that cloud shaped like rain, loving acid. I wake the same each day, full of absence and its fury. I have fury. I have absence. I have nothing. True ribs. Define lone. A lone is a small bird perched in the chest cavity. Feelings of despair can be traced to the lone, pecking nearby tissue. Use lone in a sentence. My lone is really acting up today. Define loneliness. Loneliness is a flock of lones. Their formation is reminiscent of the carrier pigeon. Use loneliness in a sentence. The loneliness was majestic until shot down by hunters, one by one. Pancreas. I haven't felt like myself. Ever since stomach left and took intestines along in a long, gloomy trail, ever since I became detached, now I'm swimming in pools of blood water and singing myself to sleep. What I wouldn't give for an audience, I'd make another sex tape, I'd kill a man, I'd pull myself open and leaking into the fluid surrounding, I'll be inside and outside, me and we, the green tinge of it. I long to be drawn out onto a couch to show you my secrets, these are my sects that I show not to priests but to myself over and again until I can erase patterns and tracks of body, I mean queered land purchased at a steal, I mean cleared land, the clean tragedy of it, I mean steeled. The work of the body in perpetual motion, the patterns, what's left in the clearing, left by the clearing, the tracks feeding off of us, means without an end, intractable in the canals of ourselves. I haven't felt myself in ages. I spy with my pancreatic eye. I spy the canals forming around us. Nothing escapes. Everything in here's connected, and it's all connected to me. Give me your blood. Give me your juices. Really, it's the absolution of difference, the drama of it all, the becoming mime, the industry of the body, of literature. False ribs. Define erase. An erase is an opening in the body, a gape of one's own making. Use erase in a confession. I became an erase. I had a nightmare in which I erased body. I was gaping, yet mobile. I was disappeared, but vocal. Left kidney. I confess I know little of infection. I mean inflection. I mean reflection. I mean deflection. I mean affection. I mean affliction. I mean benediction. I'm no saint, no pastor, not ordained, not online. Though I took a quiz on BuzzFeed just the once that confirmed I'm a narcissist. My parent, oh, what to tell them when I tell them that I love you, right kidney? I found a connection. You and I covered in glitter and bleeding fame and making birthday wishes for being recognized, not in the party of the year in a stretched sonnet taking place in the Victorian era. Oh, those ankles. I mean, stretched sonnet sinner. I mean, etched innard. I mean, the mirror stage in fantastic, yes, but I mean, is it you or is it me? I mean, is it you or is it you? I mean, it's like when the urologist told us it was not cancer, and that was a stressful moment, but at least I got some attention out of it. Right kidney. Coveted in glitter. Of course I'll undress for the camera, redress for the, you know, red dress for it. Hello there. I feel guilty for having sexual closet space, and I've come a long way from posting nudes to Organ Grinder in hopes of, but still I dream of a sex tape with Andy Samberg. But for you, left kidney, I'd be disgustingly domestic. And with what camera do we film ourselves brushing teeth, doing dishes poorly, putting in laundry detergent in skimpy clothing, download apps, read about the dangers of high heels, where anyway, walk about in lavish domestic spaces in which we hang our art, sleep on floor. Did I miss a spot? Welcome to our forever home. Enjoy your stay. Stomach. You think you can have it all, and then along comes more material to digest. Even a little appreciation would go a long way. Take in animal parts to sustain animal parts. Take in plant parts to sustain plant parts. Take in to sustain to take. I'm the real animal here. I measure the days in growth and contraction, bent over in the form of apostrophe, accept strange looks. I bend you over, over toilet, over bin, over plate, move things around, abuse with painkillers, drink nothing for 2 days. Measured ages 7 through 9 in contraction and contraction, it is possible to continually decrement. Everything has a half-life. Expel the following in sequence. Bird, fish, rabbit, bullet, old t-shirt, pit of apple, slip of note, slice of cheese, sip of wine, slit in body, excrement, excitement, excruciate, crucifixion, fixation on waste, waste, addiction, diet pills, bagel with cream cheese. You think on your own, and deter mind shifting of thinking, of shitting, of shedding, of eating, of yes, all of body is insatiable, and you would go a long way. Take in animal parts to sustain. Take in to sustain to take. I'm the real animal here in the form of apostrophe. Accept strange looks. I bend more material to digest. Even a little appreciation around. Abuse with painkillers. Drink nothing for 2 days. Measured ages 7 through 9 in contraction. Everything has a half-life. Expel the following in sequence. Bird, fish, rabbit, bullet, old t-shirt, pit of apple, sip of note, slice of cheese, sip of wine, slit in, you over, over toilet, over bin, over plate. Move things, body. You think you can have it all, and along comes excrement, excitement, excruciate, crucifixion, fixation on waste, waste, addiction, diet pills, bagel with, I measure the days in growth and contraction, bent over cream cheese. You think on your own and deter mind, shifting of thinking, of shitting, of shedding, of eating, of, and contraction. It is possible to continually decrement. Yes, all of body is insatiable, and you would take here, strange, I dig a little pain life in over your mind shifting thing of shit. I, body, and you. Heart. But this endless circulation, this work, this work, this work, I tire quickly and turn off the light and dream of saying yes to the kidney on organ for organ in the banana suit, snuggling up with the banana suit, reaching under the banana suit, taking off the banana suit and trying it on when he leaves for work in the morning. Larger lung. This endless circulation, this work, question me, answer me, cog in my unproductive hole. Now I'm everywhere. Welcome to the queer opportunity section. Smaller lung, look, look around and find reflections of yourself everywhere, happily and happily and happily a sad. And there's an icon for that. Images, reflections, no, not present, not looming, but as in weaving answers onto the icon, onto you, but no questions, but no body answer as a scapegoat. No body for body is a scapegoat for in this out, in this circulation, this work. Smaller lung. Even the exhaustion is exhausting. Cranium. Define work. The observable, the unobservable, the machinic, and all that shines. use work in a sentence. They go to work, so as not to work. Define work, the thumping, the turning, the bumping. Use work in a sentence. I refine the other's rampant misuses. Define work. Use work in a sentence. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Travis. And keeping the rhythm going through the counter rhythm of a weed whacker. So this recording of this, pending everyone's permission, will also be on green.space. Our final reader is Allison. My one sentence introduction to Allison is, whenever I have a question, Allison has the answer. Please welcome Allison Carden to Green Space.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Jake and Joe, for putting this together, for hanging out with me almost weekly for the last year and a half, I guess. And yeah, thanks everybody for being here. It's been a lot lately, so I just defended my dissertation, so these are very fresh. Thanks, yeah. There's a Reese Witherspoon. Was your Reese Witherspoon reference yours or Dana Ward's?
That's Dana Ward's.
Okay, mine's mine. We didn't talk about this.
But she's everywhere.
Okay, and I think that I reused this title, so if you've heard the title before, forgive me, but I'm calling this The Hen House is the Fox House. Okay. Laura Dern's face expands farther than it should. Should have left before the grass blades had the time and the gumption to split. My mom pulls me down into her lap, all full adult size of me. Greased hair swoop, eyes lined, pets my arm, says, did it hurt? It hurts me. I try to explain, but it turns out the question was more of a slip and slide, at the end of which lies a wash, chock full of feathers and flour. I land blinded, but preening. The question was always about purity, but whose, one can never say. Basic delusions about love and capture keep the mirror close at all times. I love that my surface surfaces the flatness they must take up, but I wonder if it crushes us beyond the dust covering the cement porch after the monsoon. Nancy Pelosi opens her refrigerator further than one might think any door should be able to open. The rows of ice cream, no, not that kind of dairy we used to call blood and pus. My sister perched on the counter, white tile there and on the floor, banging her heels against the cabinet door, which bounces off the frame back to her heels. Who knows what I'm explaining? She creeps in behind me, announces, we don't say vagina in this house. What if instead we make diamonds with our hands and hold it over our bellies when it hurts? What if we slip out of our flip-flops, hold our breath till we get to our rooms, crack the windows open just slightly, and whisper out, vagina, into the oppressive oven air outside? If I was allowed to say pussy as a kid, I'm positive I would be a better speaker more generally. Might think before writing about our household vocabulary on purpose. The question is what happens when the latent becomes salient and when salinity comes from your own mother's senile grief. You bury her with a fake fig leaf covering over the whole question of propriety. The hole in the virtue of celestial promise whittle through the nauseating fluorescence of that pale, whitened, yellowed, pink, paper skin skein of prophecy. Nicole Kidman coughs a spot of blood into a handkerchief. Her dress drapes more heavily than it should. We should have left her sooner and wiggled through the branches thatched between those bougainvillea. She calls and asks if I know about how Planned Parenthood is selling baby parts and about the black masses full of ritual abortions. There's video. It's raining as I listen, freezing on the porch. Only years later, I discover it's only the needle she was handed to make those dresses with the rickrack on the oversized collars and hems. Corduroy and bows, names for objects no whim could fix. She sits me on the handlebars when we ride to the drugstore. Sally Field pulls the glasses off her face. Her nose crinkles more than you think skull bones and cartilage would allow. A nicer medical drama to relax against into a Thursday evening. Cuddle on a chaise, she falls asleep and I agonize over my belly, which I will never see accurately. I've always wanted to flip a switch, move my eyes about 7 feet away, get it just to get a good look and assess. We're in their shared bathroom. Two sinks, three medicine cabinets, a spot for a stool, and a magnifying mirror. Excuse me. Carpet all the way to the edge of the giant bathtub. My belly must have been showing, marked with a friend's doodle of God knows what, but it's 100% in Sharpie. She looks distraught. Are you a lesbian? It's an honest question. But I'm transported, but only partially, onto the planet where I live now, beleaguered by the sense that we both agree things are bad and badly wired. Kirsten Sinema greets her compatriots like a teen waltzing down a locker-flanked hall in a high school drama. She twists her arm around and thumbs down more than you would think any one limb could reach into a bucket filled with wires, pleats of whale baleen for a skirt, and a mask to give the whole thing basically the vibe of Robert De Niro in Brazil. Denial after denial of the smoke on me. Finally, it sticks. She asks me, are you having group sex? Another organ system makes its way out through my belly button, and I wonder if I'll ever get the sense of a dress that could cover whatever it needs to. I wonder if it's that she marred and mangled the cup of bleach she swallowed and was meant to regurgitate, the cup of bleach I swallowed and meant to regurgitate. Seems like everyone is drinking someone else's tears these days. Reese Witherspoon picks the rich guy. Her forehead smooth. She sallies up to him with more saunter than you think any slight shift in angle could capture us in repose. She says, you always got along with him the best after he's drained the salt shaker onto my place on the pew. Such disorder descending out from the place of perpetual shrinking. What is ginger but a hot and spicy thing? It's only a chasm, a small gulf between that belly of ginger and the fires that enabled settlement. There's a feast to be had in the specularity of its deepening, an unconvincing transformation, a buffet of disasters that an aspirational declaration freezes into an object of knowledge. If I had a dime for every reckoning, we'd all lose everything, not having accounted for a single thing. Julia Roberts tapes her tits together, makes cleavage out of spare parts. Her collarbones balance more precariously than any sensible flesh would. She limits her sense of exposure by rattling off the provenance of the cashier at Target, the acquaintance at the Froyo shop, and the dead person at the funeral. And yet it's always a surprise to her. Someone is someone's cousin. It's only two generations or so since polygamy, only two or three since some serious homesteading bullshit. What sinister sheen dews up any web of relations seems swallowed up by the satisfaction in her voice. This attenuated axis of continuity, a diet of splayed milky pablum, nut meats wrinkling with agitation. digesting the documents of family trees, and DNA promises to expand that sense of closure, but bile cannot hitch anything together. And finally, the captivity narrative dissolves. Thanks, guys.
Hey. Thank you so much, Allison. It's so good to hear new work, too. Well, that is it. The reading is over. I want to thank you all for coming and inhabiting this space together, and thank all the readers for performing and, you know, what we foresaw would be chaos, and I really appreciate it. If you want to, we will upload the reading to greenspace, green.space. There are bookmarks if you need help remembering.